do something today. Just make some progress today, some small progress, because progress builds momentum. And then you start, it's funny how sometimes we have to do things before we feel like doing them. And then once we start doing them, the feeling of wanting to do them accompanies the action, but it's only after we take the initial step that we start to feel those that sense of momentum building.
Hello, beautiful, and welcome to Pure Happy Healthy. This is a podcast all about mindfulness in different fields that are dear to my heart. Join me for Mindful Me sessions, Mindful Model, Mindful Mensch, and Mindful Master, and dive into beautiful conversations.
Hi, and welcome to another Mindful Me episode. This episode is very special because I got Todd Henry on the podcast with me. He wrote the book, The Motivation Code, but he's not only an author, but also international speaker, consultant, and advisor, and is the author of even 4 books which have been translated in more than a dozen languages. So definitely go and check him out. I will link him up in the show notes, and I'm super happy and honored that he will be here with me today. So it's all about how we motivate, what kind of different motivation types are there, and how can we use them for work, but also for all areas of our life, like relationships, friendship, but also the hiring process and leading a company. So I thought that the topic of motivation suits really, really well for this week, because I'm lately struggling with my own motivation. So whenever a topic feels so challenging to overcome, it's really nice to speak about it, I think, and really share, because I know I'm probably not the only one out there, especially in these times right now. We have been in lockdown in Germany, in Berlin, since end of October, and it's March, and we're still in lockdown. Everything is closed, and it has been a tough winter, very cold and very gray and very dark in Berlin. And everyone's mood is kind of on the bottom, as I feel, from what's possible, because everyone is just waiting for the spring to come, and it's not really coming, and everyone is just waiting for things to normalize a little bit, but it's not really inside, and the lockdown just gets postponed. So I feel like the motivation is kind of lacking everywhere I look, and people really don't seem very energetic and very powerful to really go for new things and try new things, and it's just a general very draining mood. So even for me, as I'm usually a very energetic and very outgoing and powerful person, I would say about myself, these times has been quite challenging for me, especially going on new project and really creating all that I want to create. I still feel the creativity, and I have so many ideas and so many things I do, but there is always that point when it's about to start, where you sit in front of the white sheet of paper, the blank page on your laptop, or even now, you know, recording a podcast, you just hit the record button and there is nothing, and then you just start recording something. So this like void where you have to start about creating something can feel very scary sometimes. And the more you know yourself and the more you know how you work and how you function as a person, the easier it becomes, I feel, to overcome this starting problems, let's call it. So I, for myself, know I just need to start, I just need to do it, and then it becomes easier and easier. I remember the first time when I thought about doing the podcast, it was felt so overwhelming, and it felt so far away from me, and I was so scared of just starting to talk into that device that I just wouldn't do it, and I would just wait and wait and wait, and the point where I started just got more scary and scary. So I ended up not doing it for half a year, even though it was on my mind for so long already. And then there was that day when I just hit the record button and I just said something in my phone. I was still recording with my phone back then. And it felt scary. And I just completely said things that I didn't want to say, that I wasn't happy about saying in that moment. But then I realized that's okay. And I can just delete it and start over again. And then I did it a few times until it felt more comfortable, until that point where I had everything in set. And yeah, I realized that also from the post-production, I could still edit a few things, cut out a few things that I didn't like, what I said, etc. So I realized through the whole process that actually it wasn't that bad and it wasn't that difficult. But getting to that point took me half a year, took me so long, because my motivation just wasn't really there, or I didn't follow my personal motivation. And then that was the situation where I found out that my motivation code is just going for it and just doing it, even though I don't complete it right away, but just starting something. And that is what gives me the drive. And that is also called confirmation bias, because when you realize that you achieved something, or you did something, or you managed to start something, then it feels really good and you just want to continue with it. And that gives you more affirmation, so you keep on pushing forward and becoming better at it and just becoming more motivated with the whole thing. So I found out for myself, whenever I'm really scared of doing something and whenever I'm feeling blocked, I need to get to that point where I do it anyways, and then everything just flows. And before recording this podcast today, I somehow even felt that block again, because I realized for myself in the past month that I don't really like recording the solo episodes too much, because I really like talking with people and having that back and forth and just getting so much inspiration from the other person and then just guiding that other person through the whole discussion and through the whole conversation, that I also decided for myself I won't record a full solo episode, but I will take the interview that I had with Todd Henry about motivation and bring it into my solo episode. So it's a common work. And in the conversation with him, I just really understood and realized that every single person has a different drive. He splits it up in his book, which is called The Motivation Code, in 28 types of different motivations that drive people. So can you imagine 28 types? And that comes through long years of study. And I'm sure even within these types, there are still slight differences from each individual to each individual. So also here about the motivation, again, it's about finding really out how you personally work and function and what drives you and what encourages you and what you even see as an accomplishment. Even that differs from person to person. And I always thought I was really strange back in my past, in my childhood, or even in like later on when I studied, because my concentration span is really, really short and I get bored so quickly that in order to motivate myself to accomplish something and do something, I need to put a lot of things in between my working times. So knowing that, I can really work with that and structure my day accordingly to that. So just to give you an example, when I had to take an assignment for university, that was always the worst thing for me, because writing a lot of pages, especially when it's not your own thinking, but collecting the quotes and the thoughts of other people, was always so incredibly boring for me and really, really draining for me. But there was no way of getting through the studies without having a few of these assignments. So I knew I will have to write them. So what helped me was starting very early with it. I'm not a person that likes to work under pressure just before the deadline. I always started very early in time and really structured my whole day so I would not have to write much time on this assignment. And after taking maybe a block of half an hour, I would always put in something else, something that really excites me, something what brings me a lot of joy, like going out for a walk, drinking a good coffee, cooking, or even going grocery shopping. I actually do enjoy that. Or doing dancing, or yeah, just anything that really excites me, and or meeting a friend, and put that in between my working blocks. So I would also know that I would only have that short amount of time available for my assignment. So I would be even more productive in these times, whereas in the times in between, I really got the joy and fulfillment. So I was really looking forward to these breaks in between. And that was driving me and that was motivating me so much that I actually didn't even find it too bad writing a little bit on the assignments each day. So like this, I really tricked myself and got and stayed motivated for doing a thing that I actually didn't really appreciate so much or that I didn't really like so much. And I usually ended up being finished earlier than I had to because I had such a good routine with that and such a good schedule. And until now, until this current day, I work like this, that the things I don't like so much, I just split them up and spread them over the day or even over the time of several days. So I will always have things in between that I look forward to, and it won't feel so stressful knowing that I have to complete in a day. But that works for me, and that doesn't mean that it works for another person. So that's the interesting part about it, that every single person works so differently. And I really want to inspire you to observe yourself this week, like what kind of schedule or what kind of work or what kind of drive motivates me to really stay on track with the things I want to do, but also the things that I have to do. Because we all know once we get into routines with all the things that we do, it becomes easier and easier. Because when you integrate even the things that you don't like so much doing in your everyday life, then it becomes so much more easy because you just do it automatically without even thinking about it. And when you realize that your whole day or everything you do is something that you just get through and that doesn't really bring you joy and doesn't bring you fulfillment and doesn't light you up, maybe you can consider again if what you're doing is what you want to continue doing, or if it's maybe time to change your job, or if it's maybe time to do something different in your life, because in the end, it's all about accomplishment in terms of feeling good with what you do and feeling like you created something from inside of you that brings you joy and that brings you fulfillment. And that can be so different for every single one of us. So ask yourself the question, what does success even mean for me? And what lights me up? What do I like to spend my time with? And what are the things that really, really bring me joy? So thinking about that, you maybe get some more clarity on what is even your motivation and what you want to be motivated about in your life. What is really the drive behind everything that you're doing? If it's in your relationships, in your friendships, with your family, but also with everything you do around work or even in your spare time. So let's get further into this beautiful conversation about motivation and bring Todd Henry into this interview.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, my first question to all my interview guests is always, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had the same thing I have every morning for breakfast. I've had it every morning for breakfast for years. I have a very strict morning routine that involves coffee and then a piece of toast with almond butter. That's my morning breakfast.
So. Oh, wow. It's so interesting. I would say 90% of all my guests have the same breakfast every single day, as everyone has a quite strict morning routine, including myself. So would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Who are you? I mean, that's a big question that cannot be answered in 15 minutes. But what are you currently up to? What do you think is important about yourself that you would like to share?
Yeah, so I am, I like to call myself an arms dealer for the creative revolution, meaning I like to equip people to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy. I've written 5 books. They've been translated into more than a dozen languages. I have a podcast. We just crossed 10 million downloads for the podcast. So that was kind of an exciting milestone. So I've been doing that for 15 years now, which is a lot of fun, called the Accidental Creative Podcast. And I'm a husband and a father and a community member. And I think that pretty well captures everything that I do. In non-COVID times, I travel the world speaking at events and to companies and training and consulting and doing those kinds of things, helping people to produce better work every day.
Wow. Yeah, that's, you're so multi-talented and multifaceted. I think that's an English word. I got to your work because of another podcast, actually, where you were mostly talking about your new book, The Motivation Code. Mm-hmm. And you talked quite a lot on motivation, a lot of work ethic, etc. And I would think it's a really, really important topic, especially now in these times. Me included, I sometimes find it very challenging to stay motivated when there is not so much happening. And sometimes, especially when you're freelancing, there's not really a deadline or anything. So would you like to talk a little bit about your book, The Motivation Code, and about motivation in general? What is that all about?
Yeah, of course. So we, my colleagues and I leveraged over 50 years of research into motivation. So this work has been going on for decades before we got here. And we discovered in the course of analyzing over 1 million stories of achievement. So these are stories of people who had accomplished something, and then they shared why that accomplishment was meaningful to them, or what it was about that accomplishment that engaged them uniquely. We discovered that there are 27 unique themes of motivation, or 27 unique ways that people talk about what motivates them. And so over the course of the last decade to 12 years, my colleagues have been pulling together an assessment that helps people identify the unique themes that motivate deep engagement for them, productivity, and a sense of overall enjoyment for their work. What is it that really animates and motivates each individual? Now, we tend to think that motivation generally is pretty similar for all people. We tend to think that most people are motivated by the same things. And it's simply not true. And I think that's why often we get into trouble when we talk about motivation. We tend to think it's just about, just getting yourself excited for the work, amping yourself up and just really, I'm just going to fire myself up and go do my work. But that's not really... That kind of motivation is not persistent. It tends to fade very quickly. And so every day we have to do that again. We have to get ourselves amped up and get, but if we understand the unique themes that drive engagement for us, then we can begin to structure our work and bring ourselves to what we do every day in such a way that we will stay naturally motivated. So I'll give you an example. In my life, one of my motivational themes, one of my top 3 themes, in fact, is what we call meet the challenge. Meet the challenge means that I love discrete, concrete challenges. I love when something feels just challenging enough that it's going to be difficult for me, but not so challenging that I can't do it. That's something that engages me. So if someone comes to me and says, Todd, I don't know if this is possible, but I'm already in. At that point, I'm already in. It doesn't matter what comes after the word, but I'm already in, because you've triggered my meet the challenge motivation. So for me, I write books. I do a lot of client work, but I write books, and writing a 60,000 word book does not feel challenging to me in a year. That doesn't feel challenging to me. I've done it 5 times now. It's not really much of a challenge. So I've had to find a way of structuring my work in such a way that it feels challenging on a daily basis to keep me moving forward. So what I will do is I'll say, I have to write 500 words before 9:30 this morning. That's my personal challenge for the day. And once I do that, I feel like I've made progress. I've triggered that meet the challenge motivation. I've moved forward on this important work that I'm doing. Whereas if I don't have those challenges, if I don't structure those challenges into my day, I sometimes am prone, and this is one of the shadow side attributes of meet the challenge, I'm prone to procrastinating, you know, letting that work slip into the future until it starts to get closer to my deadline, and then it feels a little more challenging for me. And so I've had to learn to structure my work according to that meet the challenge motivation so that I stay engaged perpetually in my work. And this is true of any one of the 27 motivational themes. Once you begin to understand what it is that really drives engagement for you, you can begin to structure your life and your work in such a way. And this isn't just in work, by the way, it's also in relationships. It's in your hobbies, your personal work, whatever it is that you're doing. It's true in all facets of your life, but you can begin to structure your life and your engagement and your work in a way that's more meaningful and purposeful.
That is so interesting, because I feel like this really determines how we live our routines and our everyday life. And I've noticed that my daily ideal schedule is so different than from other people, and other people work in such a different way, but I never thought of putting that back to the drive that is behind this motivation. So if I'm a freelancer, of course, it's pretty easy to structure my day around my motivation and what drives me. But what do I do if I'm in a 9-to-5 or I have a lot of deadlines? How can I integrate my personality there? Is that even a possibility?
It definitely is a possibility. So this is one of the reasons why we work with managers and teams to help them understand the motivations of the people on their team. You know, often we don't understand what drives the people who are working on our teams. And as a result, we unknowingly do things that depress the motivation of our team members. But let's say that you are on a team and maybe your manager doesn't understand your motivation. Once you begin to understand those unique themes that drive you, you can do a couple of things. First of all, you do have some discretion and latitude over how you structure your days and how you organize your work. So you can begin to organize your work in a way that's more consistent with what naturally motivates you. You can also have a conversation with your manager. Let's say that one of your top motivational themes is something we call collaborate, which means you like to work on teams, you like to be around other people, really it's not about the individual accomplishment, it's about the team accomplishment. And maybe let's say that for the last handful of days, your work has required you to work in a cubicle filing paperwork for hours on end, and you're not around other people. Well, you can talk to your manager and say, hey, I do my best work. I know that I am motivated by this theme called collaborate. I know that's something that really engages me. Is there a way I can bring someone else from the organization into this work to work with me? Is there a way I can do this work in the company of other people? Do I really have to be in the back room organizing and filing the pay, or can I, sort of do that in the context of other people? You can begin to find ways of negotiating that workflow with your manager and say, hey, I would love, if possible, or let's say, for example, that one of your motivational themes is something we call gain ownership. That means that you want to have ownership of the project that you're working on, but maybe you feel like you don't really have ownership of anything. You can negotiate for ownership of maybe some smaller side projects with your manager. Hey, is there anything I can own, anything that I can personally take charge of as a way to keep me engaged, as a way to keep me, motivated? And that natural motivation then will flow over into other areas of your life and your work as well. So once you understand what drives you, and by the way, in the Motivation Code book, we give some specific questions and conversation starters that you can engage in with your manager and with your peers to help them understand what drives you and to begin to restructure your life and your work and around those motivational themes.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I feel like everything always comes back to clear communication, because yes, if you're able to communicate what you need in this moment and make it clear to others, especially in the work environment, then you can solve all the differences between you. So you already said that it balances or it shows in all areas of your life. So I'm wondering, is that also something that can be seen in love relationships or in friendships? And how does my motivation show in these aspects of my life?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the greatest sources of conflict we've discovered in relationships is a lack of understanding of what motivates the other person. And so you're trying to seek something from the relationship that the other person doesn't know that you're seeking and doesn't even maybe know how to offer. And so resentment grows because you're not getting what the other person doesn't even know that you want, right? And so in organizations, one of the things I often say is that the greatest source of conflict is the result of missed expectations. Expectations unspoken and expectations unmet. So once we begin to understand what motivates the other person in the relationship, we can begin to communicate in a way that naturally meets them where they are. So for example, I'll give you an example of in my marriage. My wife, I know, is motivated to optimize. That's one of the things that really drives her. She likes to make it right, meaning she can't let something not be the way it needs to be. You know, she has to optimize it. She has to make it, ideal in her mind. And she's really good at what she does because of that. In her work, she's an interior designer. She's really good at what she does because she, is able to walk into a space and make the space exactly what it needs to be, which is fantastic. I, on the other hand, not really all that concerned about things being right. I just want to make progress and think about things and come up with ideas. And so, I'll share an idea with her and she'll immediately start trying to optimize that idea, trying to make it exactly what it needs to be. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold on, time out. That's just an idea. I may never even actually work on that idea because I have 100 of these a week, right? And so we've had to learn how to communicate in a way that she'll worry about the fact that I'm not optimizing this idea. And I'll say, why are you worried about that? That was just an idea I had a couple of weeks ago. So once you understand that about each other, you can learn to temper your communication in a way that doesn't cause paranoia in the other person because they're trying to do something that doesn't mesh with who you are and what you're motivated by. And B, you can learn to speak directly to the person and encourage them in a way that naturally aligns with their motivation. So I have learned to be much more appreciative since I've understood what it is that motivates my wife. I've learned to be more appreciative of those aspects that she brings to our relationship and to be able to communicate that to her and encourage her in those ways that naturally align with her motivation. She's done the same for me. And so it really opens up a lot of new pathways of understanding and communication when you understand what uniquely drives the other person.
So I suppose there are some kind of testing. I suppose on your website, even people can find the test to take for which motivation type they are. So I guess it would make sense to somewhat in the beginning of a relationship, or also if I'm hiring someone maybe, or if I'm working or collaborating with other people, to right in the beginning maybe take that test and see, okay, how is this person actually working? What's their motivation and how can we bring that together? So is that something that you would also say would make sense or would you recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. No question. So, and we actually have seen great success helping companies who are trying to hire, for example, a new senior leader of an organization. If we know that potential hire is not motivated by whatever is required of the organization at that moment, it may not be a fit for either party. And, we've helped organizations and individuals understand, hey, which of these opportunities in front of me might actually be the right fit. So to go back to the optimize example, if you have a senior leader you're considering hiring who is really driven to optimize the organization, to really get as much value as possible out of the organization, but really your organization is about to go into a brand new initiative where it's going to be messy and nobody's going to know really what we're doing. We're going to figure it out as we go and we're just going to invent new things. Well, that person may not be the right hire for that point in time because they're going to be trying to squeeze efficiency out of things when really what you need them to do is just go out and build new things and envision new things. And so it really helps to understand what those motivational drivers are for any prospective hire. And also if you're an organization, you want to know how your team fits together in terms of motivational engagement as well. If you have too many people who are wired to be key contributors, then you know you're inviting conflict in the organization because everybody's going to want to be the person presenting the idea. Everybody's going to want to step into the spotlight, and not everybody can do that at all times. And so you need to be able to manage that potential conflict in the organization as well.
I'm sure we will get there pretty soon because I feel like companies are already looking more that on the team and the mood in between everyone and how everything fits together on all levels. So I'm sure this is something that will be included and brought much more into perspective in the future. One last question. Is there like a general advice that you can give for people who deal with procrastination, especially at the moment? I think in these challenging times, a lot of people have that issue. How can we generally maybe get motivated again if we're feeling a bit in a low at the moment?
Yeah, I think everyone is feeling that right now. So first thing I would say is have empathy for yourself. Be kind to yourself. We tend to not be so kind. We tend to be much kinder to other people than we are to ourselves at times. So be kind to yourself, first of all. But second of all, I would say progress begets progress. So if you want to, if you have a big project you've been procrastinating on, well, don't try to do the entire project. Just choose something small to do today. And as you do that, as you make, I mentioned my, 60, 70,000 word book. Well, nobody writes a book. Nobody sits down to write a book. You write a sentence and then a section and then a page and then a chapter. But you do that a little bit at a time. I write my books, all of my books, 500 words at a time. And if I get to 500 words and I'm in the middle of a sentence, I stop because I want to end knowing where I'm going to pick back up the next day. It's a self-limit that I set. I write 500 words a day. Doesn't matter how well things are going. There are a few exceptions to that when maybe I'm editing or I'm sort of getting to a place where turnaround times are a little quicker and I have to, spend a couple of hours or 3 hours a day working on it. But that's at the very end of the process. That's once I already have a draft and everything is, we're sort of reworking things. But generally speaking, my encouragement would be do something today. Just make some progress today, some small progress, because progress builds momentum. And then it's funny how sometimes we have to do things before we feel like doing them. And then once we start doing them, the feeling of wanting to do them accompanies the action, but it's only after we take the initial step that we start to feel those that sense of momentum building. So do something today, something small would be my encouragement to people.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, it's so difficult to take the first step when you're sitting in front of the white page or the white canvas, but then even if it's not good, maybe, or you don't like it anymore afterwards, just start something. From my experience, that also really helped me. And then just getting in the process, and then often the flow comes, and then you can come over that procrastination that starts with that empty void that sitting in front of you. And then also it's so important that you mentioned just looking at one step at a time, because sometimes it can feel like it's so overwhelming when you have to like build a whole company today. Obviously that's not possible. So yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, thank you so much for your time and everything that you shared with me today. It was such an honor to have you here. And yeah, I'm sure I will hear so much more from you and all your books. And yeah, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks for having these conversations and being a gift to the people who listen to your show.